Welcome, everyone, to this week's episode of the Currently Nerdy Podcast. We are a comedic, social, and current events podcast where we give you a nerdy outlook on what's going on in the world today, giving you a look inside the inner conclave of nerdom, and we're here to take over the world with our nerd imperium. So all hail the Currently Nerdy Empire.
Hail.
Thank you, V. You're a good guy. We give this podcast to you free every week on currentlynerdy.com and on iTunes, so please feel free to rate, review, subscribe, and share this podcast to all your friends, family members, and loved ones. Because remember, you truly don't love someone until you spread the gospel of Currently Nerdy. Hallelujah. Holla back, little homie. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
We are your hosts of this majestic and now leading in the polls by about 55% podcast. My name is Diz, and I am your pop culture and sports nerd, which means I could tell you that over the weekend, the Clown Commission, aka the Nevada State Athletic Commission, fined your boy Conor McGregor $150,000 for throwing bottles of Monster Energy drink at his opponent, one Nathan Diaz.
They also, what was it? It was 50 hours of community service.
When he also needs to take media training classes.
Mm-hmm.
Bro, the guy gets fined more than motherfuckers get paid. And now to the man to tell you why a person like Conor McGregor doesn't deserve the money that he makes. Ali, take it away.
Hello, I am Ali Alomi. I am the classic nerd of the group, and I will talk about the various things, backgrounds, about the various things we talk about. V.
Hello, friends. It's V Tran here. I cover all the things that Ali and Diz know not, such as movies, comic books, et cetera, et cetera.
Guys, I'm going to throw you both off a little bit because I want to give a shout out here. To a book and an author, one of our listeners, Arnulfo Cantarero, the author of the critically acclaimed Emotions, which is on sale now.
Critically acclaimed by who?
By me. And by Currently Nerdy now.
That's true. I follow him on our Instagram.
I don't know who this is.
He is a great man, and he listens to us. So thank you, Arnie, for listening in. And for all of you guys listening in, you could find his book on Amazon.
What is it about?
It's a sci-fi story about a guy named Jason, who is an alien who gets human emotions. So check it out if you like sci-fi. It's a great read, or so I've been told. And if you purchase the book and post an Amazon review, screenshot it to me, I'll enter you into a drawing to win a $50 Amazon gift card. So by supporting my boy, you'll get $50.
Where'd you get $50 from?
I stole it from a baby.
Baby?
Yeah.
Where'd that baby get $50 from?
I don't know. Out selling drugs.
Selling that weed.
Yeah. You ever seen Dave Chappelle? The little kid selling fucking weed. That's a baby sold the weed.
Baby.
So, purchase the book. Screenshot a 5-star review. Send it to me. And I'll put you in a drawing. And I'll send you out a $50 Amazon gift card. Because I'm nice like that. I'll look out for my
boys.
Well,
he's not going to send everyone a $50. If you win.
You enter into a drawing to win. I don't have that much money to send
anyone. The fine print there, Diz.
Yeah. All three people that listen to us. I don't have $150 to give you, okay? But the one person, I have 50 to give you, all right? But
you got to hurry up and do it before Diz gets,
before he
gets tempted to spend that 50 bucks.
Yeah,
it's on hookers he had in years.
And cocaine. You know, that's what I do with my life. But, I mean, I don't know. I'm sorry. It's a weird world, bro. I'm trying to read books.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Clowns are going all over the place.
Yeah, clowns are running athletic commissions. Oh, and there's actual clowns.
Yeah, actual clowns. This is one thing that's fucked up.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, so clowns are going around. Like, there's a couple of them that are just kind of walking around being creepy. But there's other ones that are like, they threaten kids. They've done things, you know, they followed people, stalking. They're staring at people through their windows and shit, right?
They have knives and shit.
Yeah.
They do have knives. There's one in Australia where they showed up with like a knife and the guy nearly runned his ass over.
Yeah. Not one clown has been shot by the police yet.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing.
Yeah.
But the police aren't taking it seriously.
They are because they have commission.
In England in particular.
Yeah. But here's the thing. The cops and here in America were told, hey, look, you don't want to shoot these people wearing clown costumes. You don't want to shoot an innocent person on accident.
Of course not.
Huh. I wish they would have gotten the memo in Ferguson and Baltimore and Cincinnati and New York and Charlotte.
Here's the problem, though. You know,
Oklahoma.
If you're a clown, that means you're putting on white face paint.
That's right. That is right. But what if you're a black man and white? Maybe.
You're still technically safe.
Yeah, you're probably safe.
There was I was watching ETC News on YouTube the other day, and they had an interview. You remember Tommy the Clown? He's the one that created crumping, like crump dancing.
Yeah.
Well, like he's talking about it, and clowns are actually like actual professional clowns who like do kids parties and stuff are actually offended. Speaking out because they're going, clowns aren't like real clowns are there to create a positive environment for kids and they're there to teach and to have fun and all these other things. And I think it was in, it's like in Arizona, New Mexico, like one of these states, they actually did a like an open clown protest where it's like clowns just marching and they're, you know, they're doing goofy things in the street. The problem is, though, it's called Clown Lives Matter.
Yeah,
which is really fucked up, right, in my opinion. And they asked Tommy the Clown about this. And Tommy the Clown just started laughing, going, this is so fucking stupid or something like that. Like, it was just, it's absolutely ridiculous. I mean, you know, clowns are clowns. I don't know.
Clowns,
you know,
are racist.
Not a big fan, but,
they
you know,
remind
like,
me of the minstrel shows. What? They're fucking donning face paint and they're making like their lips all big and shit. They're portraying the stereotypes. I'm telling you, clowns come from the minstrel shows.
Clowns pre-exist minstrel shows.
That's true, like jesters.
Multiple centuries.
Yeah.
I don't know what you're talking about. You have no factual evidence.
I have plenty
of
evidence.
Nor are you an expert in clown history.
What
so
fascinates me is like
I win.
How things become as popular as they do. So like the clown has become a pop culture phenomenon.
Yeah.
A fucked up one.
People are afraid of clowns, dude.
But like,
William Stephen King.
Anyone who watched the debate, Kenneth Bone, Ken Bone.
Oh, yeah, with the red sweater.
Dude got up in the debate, asked the question about how to, you know, create green jobs without, you know, losing any workers in the coal industry and whatnot. And he became an internet sensation.
He's a bad. I just want to hug
love
him.
Ken Bone, man.
He was a, first of all, people were talking about how he's a physical, literal walking hug.
He is.
Right? He looks like the Kool-Aid guy.
He wore a red sweater, white tie.
No, a white shirt underneath.
White shirt with a white tie.
It was a white tie?
It was a white tie. And the reason he did, do you guys know why?
Yeah, because he split his pants.
He was going to wear an olive suit that his grandpa picked out for him. And
put in the 2 years that he didn't
gained 30 pounds and he split the suit when he got in the car and he was very open and honest about it. And he went from, I think he had like 7 followers and 2 of them were his grandma because she had forgotten her password. And he ended up with like thousands of subscribers. After
you see that, but the thing is, though, Ken Bone,
he deserves it.
The man is awesome. Who can't love this
Ken Bone
18.
So one of the reasons why I think people loved him so much is because, one, that was probably one of the ugliest debates I've seen in modern America.
Did you
history.
Hear on Jimmy Kimmel? They're like, so Ken, after the debate, are you now a decided voter? He says, no, I'm still, if anything, I'm even more undecided because I have to watch Mommy and Daddy yell at the Thanksgiving table.
It was a very ugly debate, and Ken Bone was a moment of happiness.
Yeah.
It was a moment of comfort for all of us because he just seemed so pleasant and innocent. And he had such a beautiful view of the world, right? He wanted to deal with climate change and green jobs and energy. And it was one of those moments, like, because it was so bizarre after, first of all, it was in a town hall. It was just basically 3 questioners. And then the rest was just Trump and Clinton going
screaming
at it.
Screaming at one another.
Yeah. Well, the screaming mostly happened on his part.
Yeah.
I mean,
you're wrong.
Yeah. What in that moment, right? It was this. Here's this innocent desire for actually talking about substance.
Yeah,
right?
I know.
And it's almost
as if it was a political debate.
And any other political debate, we would say that perfectly sense. He wouldn't have been the Ken Bone, but he became an internet sensation because his innocence of wanting it to be about substance was so in stark contrast with this.
What an amazing, affable man.
But here's the thing. This goes to meme, right? What is a meme and why do things become a meme, right? Yeah. Because it's a fascinating idea. So meme is an idea, a behavior, or something that gets passed down from person to person within a culture or within a society or within a group of people. That's the definition of a meme, right? Mm-hmm. It was originally coined in the 1970s by Richard Dawkins before he went crazy. Uh-huh. That was what he was known for, right?
Yeah, now like, all he does is talk badly about the clock kid.
He wrote a brilliant book called A Selfish Gene? The Selfish Gene? Something Selfish Gene.
Don't ask me questions
about
books, bro.
And he talked about memes. And the study of memes is called memetics.
Memetics.
The thing I don't always understand,
study of
right?
Memes.
The study of memes is memetics, right?
I want to take
is
that class.
Why are certain things propagated while other things become extinct, right? Mm-hmm. And why those things become propagated? So why is it that people are dressing up like clowns and doing and scaring people? Why did Kenneth Bone become an internet sensation overnight? Why is Harambe the spirit animal of 2016 dicks out for Harambe, right?
Hashtag.
I'll be honest with you. Like, I don't fully understand the Harambe thing. I even use it in class, and it makes my students laugh, right? I'm like, 2016 was one of the worst years for whatever. Harambe died. And like, oh, ha, 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 ha. And I'm like, oh, good. That joke went over well. I don't understand why it went over well.
Yeah.
Because Harambe was a gorilla that got shot, right? Maybe because we all...
Die for our sins, bro.
Maybe we all felt like we were Harambe, or the senselessness of Harambe. But you see what I'm saying about memes? It's like, and that's what I'm asking you guys. You guys are more hip. Why do certain things become memes and not? Like, why Kenneth Bone and not anyone else? I thought the other guy who really stole the show was one of the black guys who was sitting in the audience and was just glaring at Trump. And like, and it did for a little bit. The internet like zoomed in on him. It's like, no longer an undecided voter. Right? And in his defense, I would have had the same look if I asked him, how are you going to bring this country together? And he started to talk about inner cities.
Yeah.
Like the Hispanics, the Latinos.
Well, didn't they ask him about like his about the video and they start talking about ISIS?
Yeah.
He did, yeah. He's a phenomenal at
deflecting.
Just, not just Diz. Normal people deflect.
Yeah.
Normal people deflect. What he does is you go, Donald Trump, I heard that you have had sex with your sister. There's a dragon over there. Like, he completely, there's like, it's not deflection. It's I don't know what it is.
He
it's
screams
like,
diversion and tries to run away.
It's a bizarre, it's a weird, I don't know.
He's like the anti-Jedi.
It's not a Jedi. It doesn't work because like Andrew Crimson Cooper just repeated the question, right?
Yeah. This is not the question you want to ask me.
At one point, Martha Raddus went, repeat the question. And everyone laughed because it was this moment.
Yeah.
I started laughing when he goes, oh, nice, 3-on-1.
Yeah. It's like, you know, you're losing a debate when you complain about the moderators, right?
What would be the opposite of the Jedi? Like, whose mind trick would it be like to try to do it and utterly fail?
Jar Jar Binks.
Yeah.
He Jar Jar Binks it. Right? It's like, I don't know what it is.
No, because Jar Jar Binks is a Sith.
Whatever.
That's true.
But I see that's another meme that's become a thing. Yeah. Well, how did things become a meme? That, in that guy's defense, every time a black person has asked him a question, he's immediately jumped to inner cities.
Inner city, yeah.
I've come to the conclusion now.
I didn't know all blacks lived in inner cities.
Black people equal inner cities. Mm-hmm. Hispanic equal rapist. Muslim equal terrorist. And women equal groping. Women equal groping. So I get it. I get where he's coming from now because it's just racism in his head, right? That he translates
and
it.
Sexism.
But why Kenneth Bone, right? Why did he become a thing?
Because here's the thing.
Why do things become memes?
Kenneth Bone is like the guy that you look at like when you're having a bad day.
So you're saying
it puts a smile on your
are
face.
You saying memes are not an intellectual thing? It's just an emotional reaction.
It's an emotional reaction.
We can't explain why something becomes a meme.
No.
I also think it has to do with the fact that our modern culture, we kind of grew up with this concept of like, we like uplifting absurd things. Because, okay, so like when we were in high school, right, which was ages ago, we're still technically kind of straddling that millennial.
We are actually millennials.
Yeah.
Millennials are anyone from 84 and up.
Hey.
Or 83 and up.
What's up, bro?
Okay, so, you know, we are on the older spectrum of the millennial.
Yeah, it's a made-up book.
I'm not.
I remember in high school, right, we had, there was this guy named Alan Wu.
Yeah, I remember Alan Wu.
Alan Wu, you know, had the highest GPA until this Indian girl, Shelly Dutt, beat him.
Yeah, she kicked his ass.
Yeah. But he was considered, this really skinny, quiet, you know, awkward Asian kid.
Did you guys yell Wu every time he came by?
No. But they voted him Homecoming King or something.
They tried to. And like every single popular guy tried to make him into Homecoming.
Is that a meme or was that
a cruel prank?
Cruel prank.
See, the thing is though,
on one hand, yeah, you could say it's uplifting, but on the other hand, it's the juxtaposition of Alan Wu, Homecoming King, that everyone found amusing. Yeah.
I think that's what it was.
There's
a cruelty there. I think they found it amusing.
I have a picture in my head, and I want you guys to correct me if I'm wrong with this picture. I'm picturing like a 5'5" Asian dude, glasses, acne.
He wasn't 5'5". He was relatively tall.
He was taller than I was.
Yeah,
he was like 5'10", 5'11".
He's as tall as I am.
Okay, so I was wrong with
that.
And
I'm slightly taller than you. I'm like two
inches
taller. Yeah,
he's
got like bangs to here.
No.
Got glasses.
No, his hair was kind of up.
No, because he had that almost that like,
You know, everyone was doing it that day.
You know, like the Asian hair where it kind of goes up naturally.
I used to have that hair.
You know, and it was like he had a kind of a like a little bit, not a fade, but it was like, you know, tapered a little bit on the sides.
Was he full of acne? Did he have braces? Wore
glasses? He did have acne.
He didn't have
acne.
He didn't have braces. Didn't have I braces. Know that, but it was
he like had glasses.
He was a guy. Did he wear always
suspenders?
Wore
no suspenders.
Suspenders.
No,
not suspenders. But he had his backpack like curled up.
No, he wore a hoodie a lot, is what I saw.
Yeah, or he would wear like a windbreaker.
He's a criminal. He wore a lot of windbreakers. Yeah,
and then he wore shorts, but he wore like the big white tube socks with tennis shoes.
Yeah, he did do those.
You know,
the tube socks was a that was
the tube thing. Socks with the tennis shoes, the shorts.
Oh, man, woo! I like you, Alan.
You know, and that's he was a nice guy. He, you know, he could be arrogant depending on what environment that he was in, right? And then he got beat by Shelley. He got beat by Shelley in the GPA.
But Shelley was like all around, like everything.
She was
president. Yeah. She was.
She's the hot spot girl.
She was smart. Yeah. She was attractive.
She's
beautiful.
Girl.
Beautiful. Shelley Doe was beautiful.
She was well liked. So she was like all around. Damn, she was an overachiever.
Classic overachiever.
Yeah. She went to Harvard.
Probably.
No, she went to medical school out in Philly.
She went to medical school.
She's a doctor. She's Indian, obviously. Duh, come on. Okay,
racist. Thank you, Donald Trump.
That's what they make
you
do.
Okay, the Alan Wu thing. Like, meme theory is not new.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? You're right. Meme theory has been around for ages.
Richard Dawkins.
I mean, remember when the emails first started? Remember Rick Rolling?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah,
like,
yeah.
Why? This is what I find fascinating, right?
Because Rick Astley was a beautiful Canadian white man who sounded like
he's black. He's British. He's not Canadian.
Who's the Canadian one that I'm thinking of?
Snow?
That's the one.
The one that sang like reggae.
But yeah. What I don't understand though is like, why did Rick Rolling become what it was?
That's true.
Click this link and it goes to a song. I mean, it's not a bad song. It wasn't.
I really like that song.
It wasn't Rebecca Black, right?
Yeah.
Why that song?
Good song.
Why? Okay. What about the memes with the photos and people's names with the people's writings on it? They were actual people.
Good guy Greg.
Good guy Greg. Bad Scumbag Luck Ryan. Steve.
Scumbag Steve.
Like, what were the other ones? Like they were like there
was the ridiculously like photogenic guy.
The ridiculously photogenic guy.
But that was more recently, right? He was like ridiculously good looking as he was doing his or
there was,
the karate guy, right? Yeah. She deleted me from Facebook, so I deleted her from life. Like, why did those people who are real people become
Bad Luck Brian?
Yeah, dude, Scumbag Steve hates his meme.
Yeah, because he actually came out and be like, I'm really not like, it's like, oh, I wore this one thing and all of a sudden all these people think I'm a scumbag.
Yeah, but what, and then mind you, this was like, that's a photo from, I think, MySpace, right?
Yeah.
This is even pre-Facebook.
Or what about, although there's also positive things that came out. What is it? Who's that Justin Bieber obsessed girlfriend girl?
Oh, the obsessed girl?
Yeah, overly obsessed girlfriend or whatever.
Overly obsessed girlfriend. She became a YouTube star.
Yeah, and not only that, she actually used a lot of that money to donate. She's like, she's doing charity stuff. Yeah, yeah. And then she actually worked with Bad Luck Brian, who had started his own YouTube channel also.
Yeah, but she was a YouTuber before she was a meme.
Yeah, well, it's like that came from that was a clip from a YouTube video about Justin Bieber.
Yeah.
And it became, and then she became like a meme, like a meme.
Yeah.
So like, why though? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's what I'm getting. Like, Harambe, all these things. I don't understand why they become what they
Dicks
become.
Except for Harambe.
Right, except for Harambe. It's why things become memes that I never quite understand, right?
Well, that's because you don't understand pop culture.
I understand pop culture quite well, thank you very much. There's just certain aspects of it that I question.
Yeah, because you really never really know. Because, I mean, it's like these pictures started on Reddit or 4chan or something, and then somebody did something with it, and all of a sudden, all the people that happen to be in this forum... Mm-hmm. Probably started doing something with it, and then it just kind of blossomed from there, right?
Mm-hmm.
But that, I mean, that's the nature of anything that goes viral. Mm-hmm. I mean,
a lot of these things start out on the internet, but in like the dredges of the internet, Reddit and 4chan and whatnot.
But it's like there was some old viral videos that were going around. Most of this is when email was a thing, right? Like when email chains, mm-hmm. and there was like Reebok did the. Was it Terry Tate office linebacker?
Uh-huh.
You know, where it was like if you like didn't refill like the copy machine, uh-huh. he'd like tackle you and start screaming at you and stuff. Right. And there was another one.
He was in Norbit.
Was he?
Yeah, he was in Norbit. He was played one of her brothers.
There was another one that was actually considered one of the originals, and it might be one of the probably one of the originals. The first one that I saw was about Christmas Rodriguez.
What?
Yeah, it's like this old like 70s throwback video. Where it's like there'd be where he was running to replace Santa Claus for Christmas,
uh-huh.
and like one of the commercials was it's like there's a family eating dinner, right, and he falls down the chimney and he gets up and he's got like a gold chain and like an unbuttoned collared shirt and bell bottoms, and he like kicks the grandma over, and the thing is like you know it's like stuck with unwanted guest this Christmas. It's like not with Chris Christmas Rodriguez. I vote for him to replace Santa Claus this year. And that was that happened in like the late 90s, early 2000s. Like we were still in high school, like early high school when that became popular.
I like that Chris Christmas Rodriguez.
There was also, I mean, used positively, you had the Old Spice guy, right?
Yeah,
the Old
yeah.
Spice guy became...
It's Amir's fantasy on his horse.
Deliberately. We love you, Amir. How they deliberately use meme culture in order to perpetuate it. Or the Dos Equis guy, right? Mm-hmm. He doesn't always drink, but when he does, he drinks Dos Equis.
Yeah.
Has become the thing, right? I use it all the time.
And yeah.
I use it in class. I don't always grade papers, but when I do, I give Fs, right? It's like, any kids laugh about it, but I don't know why the Dos Equis guy is the meme that he is.
Isn't he Jewish?
He's a Jewish guy. I forgot his name.
Pretend to be a Mexican?
It's Hollywood, but, right?
Yeah, it's kind of, that's par for the course.
Whitewashing Hollywood.
But that, with Power Rangers, everything coming out.
This is what fascinates me about why things become what they do, right? The Dos Equis guy.
Like, how does it evolve? Like, where does the process...
I want someone to do... If anyone knows a really good book, I know a lot about meme theory, and I know a lot about 4chan and trolling. I've read multiple books on this and how it's tied to hacktivism, trolling, a lot of that. For example, I have a book that's really good on... If anyone's interested, look up Gabriella Coleman. Or she goes by Briella. Hacker, Hoaxer, Whistleblower, Spy, The Many Faces of Anonymous. So I've read quite a bit. I have a really small specialization. That's not my main focus in digital anthropology, or what's known as digital studies. But I don't know enough. I want to know more. So if anyone knows like the history of memes, like a good book on that, please send me a tweet.
Of course, it presents its obvious problems too, because let's face it, with this election, we're seeing memes that are being created that people are assuming are fact, which is the most dangerous.
Meme theory can be fun, but what happens when we rely on memes? You're absolutely right.
So we're seeing people who, rather than actually looking or citing sources, all of a sudden became like, we all avoided it as kids for the most part, and now it's literally haunted us in our adulthood, because now no one cites sources anymore. All they do is put up a random picture with words on it that they assume is fact because it fits their purview, right?
Yeah.
Which is absolutely ridiculous. I actually called someone out the other day on Facebook because she'd posted an article about how there was how they'd found a bunch of empty ballots or ballots for Bernie in California that that weren't accounted for, and it would have shown that he won California. And I went, the article she linked to, it didn't have an author, didn't have any actual source other than another hoax news website that they sourced it from. The problem is, it's like she presented this as fact, and people are going to read the headline and assume that it's true rather than doing their own personal research. And another guy who's talking about about how he's trying to justify that African slavery wasn't as bad as it was, and how like Muslim slave trade was infinitely worse.
Yeah, that's all their shit. Historically accurate.
And here's the thing, he had actually put up his own, like, he had put up links to sources. I followed these sources, and it went to freaking, like, the News Observer Online, hardcore,
oh God,
like, right-wing, like,
oh, my God.
Oh, well, you know, and literally all, it's like, no sources at all. Like, no, like, the authors aren't actually, like, there's no author on there either. Like, it's just a bunch of bullshit, but he's reading articles that are an echo chamber for him.
Right. Well, I've mentioned this before, right? We're in a state of what's known as infoglob. Mark Andronovich wrote this book about this, in which there's so much information, right? The internet makes it, I mean, we all Wikipedia binge. Every one of us here does that, right?
Absolutely.
How often do you just click?
Like hours
reading weird shit, right?
Hours.
Octopus mating, right?
Yeah.
why are you reading that? Because that's what we do, right? Because so much is available. I remember a time, and I'm not saying that I lived in the ancient world. I'm a millennial. I'm a millennial. But I remember there was a time when we did research projects that involved going to the library.
Yeah.
Getting books out, getting encyclopedias.
You had to learn how to do the Dewey Decimal System.
Dewey Decimal System was one of the first things. The first time we actually did internet research was in sixth grade. It was the big thing to do. It was called the iSearch Project, remember?
Yeah, I remember the iSearch.
The iSearch Project. And they even took us to the library to use the internet. right? Because the internet wasn't available on campus.
Yeah.
So they took us to the Aliso Viejo Library where we did our, I did mine on the atomic bomb, right? And you would Google and you would, it wasn't Google back then. It was whatever it was. You used, what was it
Ask
called?
Ask Jeeves.
No, it wasn't Ask Jeeves. Yahoo. Yeah, it was Yahoo. And
if you were looking for pictures, Ariba Vista.
Ariba Vista, that's what I was, yeah. I was about to say. Ariba Vista, I was looking for pictures. And you use Netscape, right? Or whatever it was called.
Netscape.
Netscape.
It was and, Netscape, yeah.
Yeah.
As a thing, bro.
So we were using the internet, but now internet makes it all readily available. As a result of too much information, we're now and have moved from knowledge processing to knowledge sorting. And what makes knowledge sorting easy? Memes.
Yeah.
Right? You're not looking to learn something new. You're looking for something to confirm what you already believe to be true, right? And so memes make it very easy to do. Don't blame the gun, blame the thing, but somehow they want to blame. How many times have you seen a gun meme?
All the time.
Right? Where they say, where they say, not all Muslims, but somehow, you know what I mean? Yeah. They do these things, and that becomes that nugget, right? A little nugget of knowledge that allows them to justify what they already believe. So memes can be productive in the sense that they can be, they can generate interest.
Yeah, they can be uplifting.
They can be uplifting. Yeah. They can be comforting. They can be inexplicable, right? And most of the time. But they can also be kind of dangerous because I think meme culture is reductive in nature,
yeah.
Right? It relies on just a quick kind of emotional something.
Yeah. Well, I always, because... Imagine this. Like if you and what's sad is it within the filter of internet, it also doesn't which makes people bold, right? But in real life, if you were to talk to someone at a restaurant or a bar, like, well, where'd you get that from? Well, the picture told me so, right? They're not gonna say that.
Right.
I read it on the internet.
Yeah.
Right.
But it's like but in the internet, all of a sudden the picture becomes truth.
Yeah. You know? I mean there's all sorts of memes also misattribute things quite often, right? It'll say so-and-so and then quote, and I'm like, that's not an actual Gandhi quote.
Well, there's the Abraham Lincoln quote.
Yeah.
You can never trust anyone on the internet.
Right. this ties to the idea of how easily our memories are kind of, how easily information is changed. So who said I could see Alaska from my backyard?
Sarah Palin.
She didn't.
No.
Do you know who did?
No.
George W. Bush?
No.
Tina Fey?
Tina Fey did. Sarah Palin never said, I can see Russia from my backyard. Everybody remembers it as Sarah Palin.
It was Tina Fey who said
it. Tina Fey said it. Sarah Palin at one point says there's certain places in Alaska, certain where you could see lands in Russia. She never said you could see Russia from my backyard. As a joke, Tina Fey said you could see Russia from my backyard. That was... So, and that became a meme, right? Transferred everywhere. Everyone passed that little nugget of consumable knowledge down. Now everyone, you both fell for it. Yeah. Both of you thought that it was Sarah Palin.
It's not very hard to get me, bro.
But, I mean, Sarah Palin was dumb, right? But she was nowhere near as dumb as Donald Trump, let's be real. She actually prepared for her debates, let's be clear.
She's one of her hard...
Though she is kind of wavering because he's not uncertain.
She literally lost so bad that people felt bad for her and thought Joe Biden was a mean old man. What are you talking about? She prepared.
No, she did prepare. She did actually better in her debate than people realized.
Oh, but
that's true. But when your expectations aren't that high,
her expectations were really low. The reason, you know, I bring up Sarah Palin is because Sarah Palin is a direct line to Donald Trump. There is a direct connection there.
That's the outcome.
The same type of people
who
vote for him.
Well, you know, she is the seed, right?
Right.
That got planted.
In light of kind of bringing up the memes, this all started with Kenneth, right?
Mm-hmm. Ken Bone.
Kenneth Bone.
We're boneheads.
We should talk about the debates, okay? Yeah. There's a couple aspects of this, right? So let's follow this step by step. Let's do it chronologically because I'm a historian.
Yeah, you're going to have to because I actually only saw highlights. I didn't actually watch it.
You didn't watch
it? No, because I was in Lafayette.
I watched it with a group of friends.
Let me ask you something. Did he really he was looking like Count Orlok from Nosferatu.
Yes, he did it all. That's
right?
All.
Was that an actual thing? Okay.
He humped his chair. All of that's true. Okay. That's not fake, right?
Yeah.
So the month of October, people talk about having a bad week in politics. People talk about October surprises. Donald Trump has had a bad month.
Mm-hmm.
So after the debates, he decided to go on a Twitter rant against Alicia Machado. Right, which is the former Miss Universe pageant
winner.
He not only spent an entire week attacking her, He spent an entire week doubling down on the shit he said, which made it went on Twitter rants
at three in the morning
and went really bad. And then, right before the debates were about to happen, the second debates were about to happen, there was the vice president debates, which we really didn't talk about because no one really pays attention to them.
Mike Pence.
Yeah, Mike Pence and Tim Kaine, which they came about virtually tied, with Mike Pence a little ahead, mostly because he apparently has never met Donald Trump ever.
Yeah.
He literally, he's like, he never said that. and
that's just not true.
Here's the thing. I don't think people realize that the Clinton campaign had played that strategy right quite well. They said, if your running mate can't defend you, how can you ask people to vote for you, right?
Yeah.
By Mike Pence denying everything that he did, Mike Pence was quite smart. He set his legacy up well, right? Mike Pence comes off as a logical one. He shouldn't. Mike Pence is just as dangerous as Donald Trump.
If not
this
worse.
This is a man who took money away from AIDS research in order to give it to gay conversion therapy. That's horrific. That is the most vile thing I've ever heard. This is a person who demanded sonograms for women who needed to get abortions. He's defunded Planned Parenthood. This is a guy who's like who said smoking doesn't cause cancer and Mulan encourages women to join the military and women shouldn't be in the military. This is how disgusting this man is, right?
He talked badly about Mulan?
But yeah, he talked
about Mulan. Fucking hate that guy.
Yeah, dude. But, he's favorite.
Yeah.
But he's like, because he's soft-spoken, people are like, oh, he's better than Donald Trump. He threw his partner under the bus during that debate. Basically said, no, he never said any of that. Within 30 minutes of the debate, Hillary Clinton came out with an ad. Her campaign came out with an ad where basically all they did, no words, him saying, Donald Trump never said that, and then Donald Trump actually saying it. It was devastating, and people saw it. That hurt, and people could tell that it was starting to hurt. Right after that comes a bombshell. Axis Hollywood, Washington Post, Darren Fahrenthold. Darren Fahrenthold has been working his butt off on the Trump Foundation.
Did he also do the Cuba thing?
Was it
the
Cuba thing? That's Kurt Eichenwald.
Eichenwald. Okay.
So there was a series of things that came up, but they didn't quite stick. The Cuba thing came out that he broke the embargo, but they've been playing it in Spanish media in Florida. So it's been hurting him with Cuban Americans bad. Mm-hmm. But what happened was they released this video, David Fahrenthold from Access Hollywood.
He got from Access Hollywood.
Where he was on a hot mic. He knew he was mic'd and he was on a bus and he was talking about what he'd do to women. And him and Billy Bush, who people don't know is actually the cousin of George Bush.
Yeah. He's also a little snivelling little shithead.
He's a little snivelling. They were basically, at first, it seemed like they were just doing guy talk. Oh, so-and-so's hot, so-and-so's hot. Yeah. But he's like, I need a Tic Tac in case I kiss this girl.
No, he started off with talking about Nancy O'Dell.
Nancy O'Dell, yeah, how about, she's fake.
I made a move on her. I tried to fuck
like
her.
Like a bitch, yeah.
And
but
I look
she
like
did
bitch.
Mention that she also changed her look. She looks fake
now. Yeah, she's
now,
got fake tits and stuff now. Looks so
and
hot.
And then a woman who was coming up, Ariana Zucker, he said, I need to put a Tic Tac in my mouth.
So here, he goes, because Billy Bush goes, damn, that's the one that's interviewing you? She is hot, man. That's locker room talk.
The Donald scored.
Yeah.
Then he goes on to say, I need to put a Tic Tac in my mouth in case I kiss her. I don't even wait. I'm attracted to beautiful for the record.
Yeah.
That's a weird way of saying things. I'm attracted. It's like a magnet. I just start kissing them. I don't even wait. And when you're famous.
And you're a star, they let you.
You can do whatever you want. They let you. I grab them by the pussy. He comes out. The most horrific aspect of this tape is after he says this kind of really terrible thing of where he's bragging about sexual assault. Let's be clear, that's sexual assault.
Correct.
Every time you kiss or grope a woman without her consent, that's sexual assault. Done. Khalas. Okay? After he does that, the most despicable thing I find about the entire thing is that after they walk out, oh, hi, how are you? Billy Bush goes, hey, why don't you give a hug to the Donald?
Yeah.
That's literally offering her up to him after he's confessed about groping women. The tape drops and the Republican Party goes into civil war.
Oh,
it is panic mode. Not just because of the tape, though, because he had been free falling for days.
Yeah, since
the
first
internal
debate.
Polling had showed that they're losing Georgia, a red state, that they were losing Arizona, a red state, that they're now tied in Alaska and Utah, a red state, and that Hillary Clinton is competitive in Texas. It was panic mode. John McCain rescinded his endorsement. 47% of female, of women GOP leaders in Congress rescinded their support. Mm-hmm. A bunch of people condemned but didn't rescind, like, for example, Chris Christie.
Paul Ryan also said he's not going to defend.
Paul Ryan said that we're not going to defend him anymore.
And Trump's going after those guys now, too.
Do what you want, right?
Yeah.
And it was bad. Mm-hmm. And they immediately came up with a defense. It was locker room talk. He's not like that. He doesn't actually do anything like that.
Ali?
He decided his response was going to be a scorched earth policy. The day of the debate, he pulls a stunt where he goes up and he brings out all of Bill Clinton's accusers. Now, I am not one of those people that gives Bill Clinton a pass. I think that Bill Clinton very well could have been a sexual predator, very well could have used his power and privilege in order to sleep with women, maybe even abuse women. I don't know. Those are allegations that were never proven, right? In fact, the Republicans tried really hard and then admitted there's nothing there, right? Mm-hmm. They cleared him of it. I'm not saying it's ancient history, and I'm certainly not giving a pass in any way, shape, or form.
No.
But if you're accused of exploiting women and your response is to then use them as props in a political stunt and exploit them again.
It's gross.
It's gross. And to then use that to blame Hillary Clinton as an enabler, that is the literal definition of misogyny.
Yeah. Now,
that is the literal definition.
I want to get into this, okay? Because I've been in a locker room my whole fucking life.
Yeah.
All right? I played sports from like the age of 7 and up, right? Yeah. This is what I grew up doing.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Sometimes we talked about girls. Like, damn, bro, that girl, she was so fine. Did you see her out there?
It's not even locker room talk. Guys get together. Yeah. They do talk about women.
Like, damn, bro, like I would love to hook up with that girl.
Yeah.
I never once have said to my friends, damn, bro, I'm just going to walk up to that girl and just grab her by the boobs or the ass or the pussy. And if one of my friends said that shit, I probably would have slapped him in the face. I'd
slap the shit out of any guy who said that to me.
Like,
it's sexual assault.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know any guy other than the sleaziest and most disgusting that would say something like that.
Yeah. What's even worse is that, and they're failing to realize, it's not the words that he used the issue.
Yeah.
You know, it's the statements that he made that's the
issue. Right. So, like, the defense of this, like, Betsy McCoy has come out, a bunch of these people is like, oh, well, rap lyrics. Oh, but Hollywood culture. I'm like, one of them, Scotty Nell Hugh, who is Saturday Night Live, has made fun of her for how crazy she is and for Donald Trump, is like, well, 50 Shades of Grey. I'm like, oh my God. First of all, 50 Shades of Grey is about S&M consensual sex, right? Let's be clear.
Also, isn't she like signing like contracts and shit the whole time? Like,
let's just be clear, right? Their response has been horrific. He used that in the debate to try to humiliate Hillary Clinton. One of the things about the debate that really struck out to me, I'm not a fan of Hillary Clinton. I've said this over and over again, right? But in that moment, I got kind of slightly emotional. I really did. Mm-hmm. Because in that moment, she was every single woman, every single successful, intelligent woman in this world who had to act poised and controlled and had to demonstrate her intelligence while competing with a man far more incompetent and not even on her level. And she had to smile and nod as if that walking buffoon has anything on her. I mean, every woman has had to deal with that moment, right?
Yeah.
Of sitting there and going, I have multiple degrees, this much experience, but this dumbass is telling me that I don't know what I'm talking about. How often have I seen women, experts in their field, smile and nod, waiting in order to say something because someone else thinks that they know more than they do?
Mansplaining.
It's, I mean, aggressively it's, thinking that women are. I mean, it's
nerd culture right
it's
now.
Nerd culture, right? Yeah. You're not a real nerd, right?
Yeah.
But what was particularly frustrating is that what I saw there was the actions of an abuser, right? This was a man who was trying to humiliate her, and his body language was very uncomfortable. From the way he prowled, he stalked her. There was a moment where she's talking, and he looms above her. Because he's trying to physically intimidate her. He points his finger at her and she remained calm the entire time. I don't care whether you like Hillary Clinton or not. If at that moment you didn't sympathize with her, right? You don't know what women have gone through. Because in that moment, I mean, I think every woman saw that and went, phew. And there was a reason why Republican Democrats walked away very uncomfortable with that debate. It was a very bad debate. One, he lost again.
Yeah. Right.
He did marginally better than he did last time.
He did do better than he did.
But he lost dramatically. He lost by 20 points. In all scientific polls, he lost, right? The NBC, the YouGov, the CNN, they all show that he lost. But one of the things he did is that he proved that this man is nothing more than a thug. He threatened to arrest her. He said, "I'm going to throw you in jail." He called her the devil. He was utterly horrible, right? And this is an indication of what he's been planning to do all along, right? He wanted, because he's been losing, because the Republicans have turned on him, he then spent after the debate going after his own party, Paul Ryan, all of them, on Twitter, flipping
shackles
out.
Are free.
He's been saying it on Bill O'Reilly. But in addition to the kind of declaring war on his own party, he's been wanting to go after Hillary Clinton in this kind of dirty, disgusting way in the hopes of depressing Democratic turnout.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is why Democrats really need a rally, right? People should know that this is his tactic. They shouldn't fall for it. They should rally and make him lose by a landslide because he can't get above the kind of high 30s, low 40s. He's stuck there.
Mm-hmm.
That's his base, right?
Yeah.
He's bleeding Republican support. What he needs to do, and he can't seem to grow because he can't reach out. It's too late. He needs to hit her so hard that her own supporters don't go out to the polls, thus bringing her down so that they can be competitive.
Like competitive.
He can't catch up, so he's going to try to... He's literally the guy who tries to grab someone while they're in the race and pull them back.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he's trying to do. So it's very important for us to really go out and vote. Because if we don't go out, then he wins at depressing the vote. There's something quite disgusting about legally trying to suppress the vote, which Republicans have been doing for a long time. North Carolina and all that. I mean, this is the first year we're going to be voting without the voter rights protection, right? So,
because we saw that with the whole, all that hanging Chad business.
The Supreme Court shut it down. Well, no, it's the voter rights support is about, it was a amendment put in place to make sure that basically the South, Southern states couldn't try to suppress the voters of minorities, right?
They
already do a lot of shady shit, right?
Oh yeah, like voting booths 8 hours away
voting
and all other shit.
8
hours
away, not putting one in certain counties because that county happens to vote Democrat.
Yeah.
And this is the first time that those protections aren't there. North Carolina and other places have really worked really hard. They've done all sorts of shady shit too, like in certain places they've purged the voter roll. People are like, oh, so-and-so is a felon. They did, which is what they did in Florida, and they completely purged. So you got to make sure you're registered because your name may have accidentally got purged, right?
Yeah.
There's been lawsuits against them. William Barber, Reverend William Barber, probably my favorite reverend in America, is in North Carolina, has been leading the charge against it. After the Hurricane Matthew happened, Florida, the judge ruled against Rick Scott, extended it to Wednesday, and then now extended it an extra week.
Mm-hmm.
Registration, because Rick Scott, who runs the super PAC for Donald Trump, was going to cut that short. He's been a shifty
Rick
fucker.
Rick Scott is one of the most deplorable human
he's
beings.
Probably he's probably one of the most deplorable governors of all time.
Like
He's disgusting.
I told you what my friend Trey said, right? Because Trey is from Tampa. And after the Orlando shooting, Rick Scott like did his whole thing. And Trey goes, "You are the reason why gun like laws cannot get passed in Florida. Mm-hmm. You are anti-gay marriage. You are anti-rights for gay people. Yet you're trying to use this as a political move to make you seem better. You are a piece of shit, and Florida knows that you're a piece of shit."
Now, with the hurricane too, Florida and North Carolina have both been flooded, and so we'll see if that has an effect on the election. Natural weather does. I mean, Brexit is an example of this. It was a rainy day, and a lot of people didn't go out to vote.
Isn't it always a rainy day in London?
It's always a rainy day. I mean, not in all of England. Okay. But it was also bad weather. The storm had just passed Colombia, and that was another reason people didn't go out to vote during Colombia. It's why the peace deal with FARC lost. Yeah, there was a lot of people against it who were motivated, but the people who were for it, some of them just didn't go out because it was raining.
Uh-huh.
So elections can be swayed by really small things like this, and we've just had a hurricane hit two swing states, Florida and North Carolina. And whenever we have a flood, it generally affects the poorest and minority communities.
Yeah.
So it's really important. And when you have stuff like this, suppression of the vote, storms, things that keep you from going, and then you have a political candidate who is saying, "I can't make it to 45 or whatnot, so I'm going to drag the other person down as much as I can." And he's basically the guy at a race that reaches, because he sees everyone else's head, he reaches out and he tries to grab them by the collar and pull them back.
Yep.
It's a really disgusting tactic. The good news is it generally has a high chance of backfiring. Yeah, it'll make his moderates turn away from him.
It's like in basketball or football. Like, you know you're not going to win, so you just try to injure the star players.
Your campaign is disgusting, but we do know that it can also be somewhat successful. George H. Bush, first time around, did
Herbert?
Pappy Bush was successful in doing this. It was originally Roger Ailes, right, the guy who's actually advising Donald Trump, who used the tactic along with Atwater and others against Dukakis. And they used some of the worst, you know, race-baiting, negative campaign, the Willie Horton ad, right? You guys know what the Willie Horton ad is,
no.
Right?
No,
it's the
no,
one where there was a person who was furloughed from jail, a furlough program.
Oh, yeah, I remember
And he went out and he raped a white woman. So it was like all the racial fears.
You talked about
they put William Horton, led out by Dukakis. I mean, it was a total playing on racial tensions and racial fears. The black man raping a white woman, right? Then it was never mentioned, for example, that the most open furlough program was actually George W. Bush's, right? Or George H.W. Bush's, right? So it was disgusting. So it can work, but it's very important for people to go out and vote and not allow them to drag you down. That was my disclosure. So after, in the debate, we saw probably one of the ugliest displays of misogyny, right? Mm-hmm. First, the tape had come out.
Yep.
This man then used the scandals of Bill Clinton. Yeah. He used those women as a prop.
Mm-hmm.
So he doubled down. He's used his excuse for exploiting women was to his response to exploiting women was to exploit women, and then he did that debate performance, which was disgusting and horrific and misogynistic. You could really see that this is a man who likes to humiliate women. Yep. His attempt was to humiliate her. I'm going to imprison you. That, for the record, should terrify us all. This is a man who wants to become a dictator. This is a banana republic. This is things that happen.
That's a closed door.
Yeah. That's the closed door.
That's a closed door.
This is what happens in the Congo. This is what happens in the Middle East.
Oh, that's what Mr. Khan said.
This is what Erdogan does in Turkey.
Mr. Khan said he's threatening to put Hillary Clinton in jail.
Yes.
We are not in Congo.
Yeah.
This is the United States of America. Where are my Republican patriots?
Yeah, he's right. This is what he did should terrify people. But because he's done so many things, it's not like no one thing sticks, right? When you've thrown so much shit at the wall, you just assume the wall is brown, right? It's just how it is. That's what it's become, right? The man threatened to throw his person in jail. He called her the devil. He did all sorts of things. But there's something very important that happened in the debate, right? First and foremost.
Kenneth Bone.
Kenneth Bone, yes. But one of the most important things that happened at the debate was that Anderson Cooper asked him point blank. And that tape, you were bragging about sexual assault. Do you understand this? ISIS, right?
Yeah.
Do you understand that you are bragging about sexual assault? It's locker room talk. Have you done it? Well, it's just words. I've never done it. He's been reeling ever since, right? He started a civil war with the Republicans after that.
Yep. And like Marvel Civil War.
Yeah, Marvel Civil War. He came out, said that because on Monday, Speaker Ryan, speaking to his donors and the other party members, like, I'm not going to defend him anymore. A bunch of people defected, and he's at war with them. He's like, Speaker Ryan is weak and ineffective, and John McCain, who unendorsed him, has a bad mouth. As you can tell, his number one defense is what? Projecting, right?
Yeah.
He literally does. Like we are so sick and tired of the insult-driven campaign of Hillary Clinton. What?
Wait, correct me if I'm wrong, but did not Donald Trump call John McCain a loser?
Yes, he did. He called him a loser, then he calls him a foul mouth. He's the most foul mouthed senator in Congress. I'm like, wait, what?
Look, I don't really care for John McCain that much.
Me neither. But of all the things to accuse, he accuses people of what he does.
But McCain,
right? In the same way, like, whoa.
I mean, McCain should never have endorsed him in the first place. The man actually fought for our country. Was a POW. Like,
but McCain is a party guy, right? He doesn't matter, right?
He
still doesn't speak ill about Sarah Palin.
Yeah,
doesn't speak ill about.
And like, they hated each other.
They hated each other. So here's the thing. The thing that fascinates me, right? Is like, The idea that he accuses Hillary Clinton of running an insult-driven campaign. You do realize all she's done is quote your words back at you. Those aren't. If you think that they're insults, then that's because you're saying insulting things, bro, right?
She complimented
She literally
his
hasn't
children.
Said anything.
She complimented his children, yeah. And he took that as an offense.
Like, I'm going to take that as a compliment, he said.
But no, like, shit. Well, it is supposed to be a compliment.
No, it is a backhanded compliment. In her
well, yeah, obviously.
It's smart.
Yeah.
Good for her, man. I would have been pissed. Dude.
I said his hair.
The second thing that he did during that. So that was the first thing. The other thing he did in the bear is he convinced every single woman or most decent women not to vote for him. Because every woman has gone through what Hillary Clinton went through, right? Having to put up with a man who knows absolutely nothing but claiming to know more than you do, even though you're so much more qualified.
Seriously, it's the it's like con culture all over again.
Yeah, it's bad.
You
it's
have to
bad.
Like prove that somehow that
I mean,
you're like a legitimate.
I did not have a big fan of Hillary Clinton, but watching her, I felt for her. I read
yeah.
She had to sit there and smile as a man brought up her husband's infidelities and blamed her for them.
Oh,
she had to
God.
Sit there and smile as a man said that he's going to throw her in jail. He had to sit there and she had to sit there and smile as a man called her the devil, knowing that if she had done any of those things, Hillary Clinton loses control. Hillary Clinton hysterical, right? So I felt for her. But there's some that Anderson Cooper quote is going to haunt his ass because shortly thereafter, just today, the New York Times released when he had made the claim of grabbing a woman's
pussy,
right? That was the video. We already discussed it.
No, he bragged about grabbing.
Yeah. We already talked about sexual assault, right? But he says he never did it. Two women have come forward at the New York Times just released where he did exactly what he said he did. One of them was on an airplane. Uh-huh. He groped her. And another one he forcibly kissed and groped at his own hotel. As that was breaking, Palm Beach, Florida released another one where a woman says that he did the exact same thing at Mar-a-Lago, which is his kind of like mansion down in Florida.
It's a sex mansion.
His sex mansion.
He's got property there.
It's his kind of like his crown jewel.
Uh-huh.
At the same time, BuzzFeed releases an article from Miss Teen USA in which he says...
Is Miss Teen or Miss USA?
Miss Teen USA.
Oh, Miss USA is a separate one. I'm getting it. Miss Teen USA. Let me clarify this. These are 15-year-olds. Where he would go into their dressing room where they all collectively dressed and watched them. At the same time, Miss Arizona and Miss Washington came out and said that he did the same thing where he went into their dressing rooms and watched them. Then People, just as we were recording, released an article by Natasha Stoyanov where she says the things he said about forcibly kissing and then groping did to her. And her story matches almost identically to the story of Jill Harth, who is a woman he settled the lawsuit with because she had done that to her, pushed her into Ivanka Trump's room, his daughter's, and groped and made out with her. Now, the thing about this story is that Republicans were already leaving him when he just said this stuff.
Yeah.
So I'm pretty sure we're going to see a lot more jumping ship.
That'd be
but
dope.
The thing about this story is that he's denying all allegations, of course, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I've never said, for the record, Bill Clinton should be excused. I'm actually one of the people who say, yeah, Bill Clinton should be held accountable. I'm not making any excuses for Bill Clinton. Right? Mm-hmm. I consider both
As
these,
you shouldn't.
Both these people probably were some form of predators using their power.
Yeah.
What fascinates me, though, is that the best witnesses for these women are Donald Trump himself.
This is true.
Before they came forth, he is clearly on tape saying that he kisses them without waiting and he groups them because he can get away with it. On Howard Stern asked him, and he goes, yeah, I go back into the pageants while they're dressing, and I'm like, oh, nothing to see here. Nothing I haven't seen already.
Mm-hmm.
Guess what? Those are the exact words he used to one of the people. It's like he himself, his own words, have come back and corroborated these women's story. We're going to see how this story develops. If he loses the election, I'm going to celebrate it endlessly because what brought this man down after all the shit he did was a little Auntie G and Uncle G standing up, Muslim family.
Have you ever read the Constitution?
A Latina Miss Universe pageant, whom he called Miss Piggy and Miss Housekeeper, and now women who have stood up and who he has alienated
Boom.
And now taking his ass down. The very people he attacked brown people, black people, women are going to take this ass down and save the Republic.
Who's the bitch now?
We're going to keep reporting on this story because it is developing. It just was released, breaking news this evening. We'll tell you how it goes as the weeks progress. And if his scorched earth policy is going to continue, which I suspect it will, all I have to say is make sure you vote and keep this sexual predator out of the White House.
Yes. And I know that the election's sad too, mm-hmm. but the debate was sad. But my favorite part of it was what one Donald J. Trump asked me to do. He asked me to report things. So, you know, I've been on Twitter reporting that, you know, before I give things to the infidels like V, before I hand you any water or anything, I say a little prayer for you. I say, La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. I make it halal for you and I give to you. So you will thank me when you're in Jannah, you goddamn kafir. you know, it's my own suspicious activity. But I also report the lady who washed my clothes. Her name is my mom. She don't put the fabric softener in there sometimes.
You are so stupid. Wow.
To make me smell more Muslim.
I don't know what smell more Muslims. But by the way, Muslim, hashtag Muslim Sharia. Report was one of the most tweeted tweets of all time. And one of the most famous one was like, I'd like to report a crazy man yelling at a woman on stage in Missouri right now. It was the most tweeted. I think it was like, it had over like 60,000 tweets or something like that. And there were some good ones, right? It's like, Hillary, look behind you.
Yeah.
Woman, look behind you.
Watch out. And they had like a black person yelling at the TV screen.
Oh, no.
Racist.
Yeah. Pretty.
I didn't say it.
Some pretty funny things. We should also mention before we leave, before we finish with the story, V's got a story for us. The Power Rangers trailer came out.
Oh my god. Oh
good god, what happened?
Listen, okay. You know what's crazy about that? Is that Max Landis, who wrote Chronicle, you know, was supposed to be the writer. He was
I didn't know that.
Was supposed to write Power Rangers, and they're like 86 them halfway through.
Yeah.
He goes, "You guys literally stole my Chronicle." Yeah, you literally stole Chronicle.
I didn't even see his comments, but yeah. I legitimately said that because I was like, this is a Chronicle. They find some weird alien thing and then they get superpowers.
Yeah. The high schoolers go into a cave.
Isn't Bryan Cranston going to be playing Zordon?
He's Zordon.
What?
Can I ask you, why is it that Rita Repulsa is like a ninja? Like a warrior?
I don't know.
Rita Repulsa is a witch.
Yeah, I don't.
We'll see how this turns
and,
out.
And she's also white.
We're all going to watch it.
Well, we have to. It's our childhood. Yeah.
It doesn't look so good.
We walked home from Bolton School every single day.
Let's be real. It doesn't look so good.
And you know what's sad is that also they were catching a lot of flack for one of the posters because the poster had each individual Power Ranger on it, right? And the Yellow Ranger had something about driving on there. And what's sad is that the original, the Vietnamese girl who played the Yellow Ranger in the original storyline or the original show died in a car accident.
Oh, come on.
Yeah. So like people, like they got a lot of backlash for that.
You wouldn't think to like look for that? Like, are you stupid?
So V, in light of Halloween, you've got something for us.
Yeah. You know, I figured because we're in October that we should kind of count down some interesting little Halloween tidbits. And I really wanted to bring this up because a news story just came out about the famous Winchester Mystery House in San Jose, California. Did you guys hear about this?
The gun people.
Yeah. They just found another room in the Winchester Mystery House.
What's the Winchester Mystery House?
So the Winchester, it's named after the owner of Winchester Rifles, right?
Okay.
Sarah Winchester was her name. She lived on the East Coast.
Okay.
Her husband was the one that created Winchester Rifles. It's also what the... was it Sam and... what's it from?
Dean?
Supernatural. Sam and Dean. Uh-huh. The Winchester brothers, right? Oh. There's like a certain connection there.
Okay.
So her husband dies of tuberculosis.
Okay.
Daughter dies also in another way.
The Black Death.
And she is big into mediumship. So she goes and talks to a medium.
She goes talks to Ali.
Yes. Yes. So Ali.
By the way, this is not, we're talking about like parlor, right? Seances. Yeah. These were quite popular back in the day.
You would know. You were there.
Yeah. So Ali went back in time with his turban, pulled out his tarot cards. You know, started to make the table float.
With the crystal ball and shit.
And then he goes, "You have to move westward. Your husband is telling me that you need to move west because the spirits are attacking you." So she moves all the way to San Jose, California and creates this house, which is originally 7 stories.
Okay.
4,400 windows, 140 plus rooms currently. Mm-hmm. It used to be 7 stories large. And the reason why she built this house... there's no plans, there's no architecture. She just built it. She kept consistently bringing contractors in to make more rooms. The idea being that she believed that she was being haunted by the ghosts of people who had been killed by Winchester Rifles.
Holy shit. That would make sense.
So this crazy lady was building this house.
I know she was crazy.
Hundreds
bro.
Of rooms. Well, I mean, you know, you're going to be a little crazy.
Fucking Ali convinced her the ghosts were coming after her.
The whole point of the story, there's a reason why she builds the way she does.
Yeah. So essentially, she believes she's being haunted. She believes that these rooms contain ghosts.
Okay.
And I mean, it's her living on her own. It's still owned by the Winchester. It's a big tourist attraction in San Jose, but they just found another room.
They found another room?
They just found another one that had been boarded up or something. Uh-huh. Just within the past couple weeks.
Okay.
The idea behind these things is that like somehow you'd be able to trap the ghosts into the house so they wouldn't be able to find you.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But till the day that she died, she believed that these ghosts had followed her, and it was because of the Winchester name essentially killing people.
Uh-huh.
That she believed that she needed it. She was compelled to build this house. Like, how crazy is that? I mean, number one, you're rich. You can do that. You know, in Thai culture, they build one spirit house. The idea being that you build a house for a spirit, so they move there. It's the only one that you need. Uh-huh. This lady built hundreds of rooms for these.
But it's not just the building of the house with multiple rooms. The idea is that by creating it winding and twisted and whatnot, you were able to make the spirits get lost in it.
So it's not just like rooms like all.
No, there's no
actual plan on the inside.
Yeah.
The outside looks like a normal house. The inside is completely, they just kept building and building and building, and then it's like twisting and winding.
That's why it took me.
It's not an actual literal maze though. Like it's not like the maze you see in a bush. But it is twisting and winding, and you can get lost in there.
Yeah.
And the purpose is to make ghosts get lost.
Yeah, it's like 44 different staircases in this house.
Holy imagine shit. That.
And it goes back to this whole idea of the labyrinth where you walked into this maze and you walked out, you'd be able to trap ghosts that were following you. Or what is it, Ali? You said the wind.
Mm-hmm.
Trap the wind, an old Scandinavian
The old ways of working with a maze was to capture the wind so that you could travel on the seas.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that the wind wasn't too aggressive or no storms. And it's also developed, it's found in the Mediterranean.
Yeah,
it's
keep the Minotaur in.
The Greece, right? It's particularly famously kept the Minotaur in Scandinavia. And it is to catch spirits.
That's a real thing to keep a Minotaur in?
Yep.
Yeah.
That's from Crete.
King Minos.
Yep. Yeah, his wife had sex with a bull, gave birth to the Minotaur, and he created the labyrinth. Daedalus created the labyrinth and trapped the Minotaur inside.
Who's Pan? Why does he have a labyrinth?
He doesn't have a labyrinth.
No, that's
Pan
movie.
Is a god.
It says Pan's Labyrinth. Is that not?
That's a movie.
You guys are fucking confusing me with your ghosts, and I'm not going to be able to sleep tonight, so fuck the both of you.
Didn't you get exorcised once?
I did. Did I share this story already?
No, you know, we'll talk about it next week.
Yeah, we will. All right.
On that note, we've talked about ghosts, we've talked about memes, and we've talked about pussy.
Grab him by the pussy. Now, you can catch us on Facebook. Facebook.com/currentlynerdy. Go on there, like our page, write in our wall, send us some cool stuff. You can catch us on the tweets @currentlynerdy. Hashtag of the week this week is #CNReportsThings. So currently nerdy reports things.
It's a long ass hashtag.
CN reports stuff. CN reports stuff.
A lot of letters.
You're a lot of letters. Muslims report stuff was a trending hashtag. You think CN reports stuff can't be? It's less letters. Fuck you, V. You could also find us on Instagram. This is V's specialty, the Instagrams. Go on there, follow us, like our pictures, write some comments, tell V that he's very special for finding these pictures and memes and putting them up. You can catch us on Tumblr, currentlynerdy.tumblr.com. Go on there. Make sure that Ali and V are shipped. I haven't seen any shipping of the two of them, so go and do that, and then follow us and reblog and all that other stuff that we post on there. YouTube, watch out for our Currently Nerdy Explains Harley Quinn and Joker YouTube video. So that's coming out soon. We're just waiting for Ali to post it. And we're on the iTunes. Currently Nerdy on iTunes. Rate, review, and subscribe. Give me some fucking 5-star ratings, you pieces of shit. And if you'd like to get a hold of us individually, you can. V, tell them how they can get a hold of you.
Of course, you can find me on Instagram and Twitter at VTran214. That's VYTRAN214. You can also find me on my website at thesandwichslayer.com. Ali?
You can catch me on my Twitter at AAOLOMI. You can also find me on my website at AliAlomi.com. Diz.
You can find me everywhere in the world wide web at DizBulla.
For everyone here at Currently Nerdy, thank you for tuning in. And remember, stay smart, sexy nerds.
And we love you. Unless you're fucking groping women against their will, then we'll find you and murder you.